Everybody, welcome to the Rust is Gold Racing Podcast. This is episode number 11. We've got a really different show today. We're going to have a guest, Pedro Asturiano from Mexico City and the Lost Boys Cafe Racer crew.
Down the way, not too far, an old-time rockabilly coffee bar. Wrecking machine tucked in the back, Elvis singing about a Cadillac. I'm on a BSA, been riding all day. Leather's on, goggles too, triumphing and don't know what you want to do. My boys are on Ducatis, happy now all the while. Yeah, these are rockers, it's their style.
So let's ride,
so let's ride.
I know we're having a little bit of connection issues when we were talking to him earlier, so maybe a little choppy, but should be a good show, guys. What do you think? It's going to be kind of fun to talk to somebody in another country about cafe racers.
Definitely. Definitely. I brushed up on my Spanish, but we didn't get to use it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Mexico is pretty much our, they're right south of us, so they're kind of like a sister state to us, and I'd like to hear his take on the cafe racers and the riding out there. And I love Mexico, man. It's a cool place. So
yeah,
I'm excited.
Mexico gets a bad rap, you know, and it's unfortunate because it's a beautiful country. It's got an amazing cultural history, especially for us living in New Mexico. You know, we share a lot of heritage and a lot of art and a lot of language, obviously. But I know those guys are doing something really cool. It's and they're hardcore. They're legit.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, they dress the part. They act the part. They live it. You know, which is really cool.
Definitely.
And I think they have an affinity for Gootsies.
It sounds like when I was on their webpage or their Facebook a while back. Yeah, I've always would see the Gootsies on there, and I kind of pointed it out. So I have a feeling they can get Gootsies a little bit easier.
Yeah.
I know Andy Delo from the Desert Ace Rockers down in Las Cruces. He's the one who introduced me to these guys. And so I think Andy's spoken with him a few times.
Oh, so you knew about these guys?
Yeah, I've known about these guys for a few years now.
Yeah, I didn't know about them. I came across them because Pedro had actually produced a short film called The Warrior's Way. You know what it is in Spanish?
Oh.
I don't know what it is in Spanish, but I know he produced this short film and...
El Camino del Guero.
I thought you were practicing your Spanish.
I was. I got tongue-tied. I'm a better listener than speaker.
That was pretty good, actually.
You should have seen me on the ambulance, man. It was weird.
I bet. I watched the short film. I know Tyson saw it, right?
Right, yeah. It was cool. I mean, the scenery, it was cool. They have a lot of cool riders. I saw some cool bikes in there, too. There's a Triumph. His Norton is amazing. That thing is awesome.
You know, I've never seen one of those in the States in person.
Yeah, yeah.
So what was it? It's a Norton...
It's a 2015?
Commando?
Norton Commando, yeah. 961 Sport. So it's when Norton came back, they started making these bikes. These are not cheap bikes.
Really?
No. They are unbelievably expensive.
Well, that's cool. I mean, it's a Norton.
It's a Norton.
Right? And to have one next to...
And they're all hand-built. Right. The new Nortons. I think they're finally going to start coming out with some... They have some prototypes they just showed off at the EEI. Gosh, I can't remember the name. There was a motorcycle show just recently.
Vegas?
Yeah.
AIM.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, I know they introduced quite a few bikes.
Yeah, quite a few bikes.
Actually, I know Indian had the FTRs there.
Yep.
Right.
And they were letting people ride them, from what I heard. That would have been a cool show to go to.
Yeah, it would have been awesome. Not too far either.
No. I know that Pedro's film was selected, an official selection for the short film at New York Film Festival. I'm not sure how he did in it, if it won any awards or not, but it was a cool film. Showed some interesting writing in Mexico. What else we got? We got anything else?
Here at the coffee shop, we're doing a fundraiser. My boy Steven over here picked up a tree. Tell us about this tree and where you got it from.
We've got some property, and we used to, many years ago, go and get trees and, you know, either donate some, sell some and stuff, but we hadn't done it in years, and this year I decided to go and couldn't think of a better tree to put in the coffee shop for the giving tree for Tyson's donation fundraiser that he's doing. So, you know, we had to donate a tree. It's a pretty tree.
Yeah, it's right, a nice looking tree, man. It's what, 8-9 feet tall?
Yeah, it's about 8 feet. It's a white fir. It
smells good. It's not plastic or metal, and it's not going to leave stuff all over the place or start
needles
a fire.
All over.
Hopefully we don't start a fire.
I love the star, man.
Well, the star is a piston, and what better way to christen the top of this Christmas tree, right?
Yep.
But the fundraiser itself, Stephen donated the tree. Law Tigers are going to make some flyers for us. The Duke City Rockers and myself and my students in my class every year would make these homeless packs.
Yeah.
So we would start right around Thanksgiving, and we'd make these homeless packs that had beanies, blankets, gloves, a little bit of food, hand warmers, stuff like that. And we would probably get anywhere between 500-600 packs. And then around Christmas, we'd bag them up in the classroom, and then around Christmas time, the Duke City Rockers and myself would go out to Wells Park, and we would basically hand them out to all the homeless. And this year, I actually wanted to take a step back and kind of take a break because, you know, I'm just kind of tired and burnt out from working two jobs and whatnot. But my mom would not let me do it, man. She would not let me take a year off, and she kept hounding me and telling me I got to do something. So this year I decided to do a giving tree, being that we have a coffee shop now. And what we were going to do is backpacks for kids in need in Albuquerque. And in the backpacks, we're going to have beanies, gloves, earbuds. We already had a couple people bring stuff in, baseball mitts, bats, you know, things that kids need, especially in this city sometimes.
And, yeah, and Tyson's being a little humble about it, but every year he's really pushed by himself, really, for the most part, to collect items. And if you don't know Albuquerque, there's a big homeless population down by the freeway at Wells Park, and the park is full of homeless people, children, older folks, drug addicts.
Veterans,
and everything. Tyson really has done a great job every year of pulling together these packs and going down and giving them soap, toothbrushes, lotion, socks, gloves, all kinds of things that you really don't think of that people need. And it was a great idea to do the giving tree this year.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I think it was really awesome.
Well, and I thought too, maybe this year we could do it a little differently in that, you know, if somebody knows a kid that needs these items and they don't want to actually, you know, ask, or they don't want to go to the school counselor to, you know, say they need help, they could just come into the coffee shop anonymously, or, you know, we can have somebody else come in. I mean, basically just take a backpack, give it to a kid in need, no questions asked. And for those people that wanted to give an item, so let's say you give an item to a backpack, or you give an item to place in the backpack, we'll give you a coffee on the house for
That's
your
awesome.
Generous donation. And the other cool thing about this too is, like I've always said, the motorcycle community is one of the most generous, most giving communities I've ever been a part of. And every year people, you know, within our little social network and within our group, I mean, they're always willing to help out and give as much as they can, which is really cool.
Today is November 28th, and we are waiting on a couple of things for the tree, right? The cards are coming in.
So Law Tigers are providing the cards.
Yeah, so thanks, Law Tigers. Appreciate that.
They should be coming sometime this week.
And how long will the donation be open?
I think I'm going to run it probably to like around Christmas time.
Great.
Yeah, so almost a full month.
Yeah, so you got a full month. Regardless of when this podcast airs and you hear this, come on down to Russ's Gold Coffee. Take a card off the tree. It'll have a checklist of items that you can donate. You can donate all the items or one item. Bring it back with the items. Give Tyson or Jimmy or Kaylee or Sarah the card with the donation and get your free Russ's Gold Coffee.
Yeah, get a coffee on the house, man.
It's pretty awesome, especially it's worth it just for the coffee. Plus you're doing something good.
Right? It's a win-win. You can't lose.
It's a win-win.
Anytime you get coffee, it's a win-win.
Anyway, I wanted to mention a couple of people that have sent us feedback on the show. Veronica Brown sent us some feedback on our podcast about the DGR ride. She really thought we covered some cool things there. So thanks, Veronica, for listening. That's awesome. And Tim Scott sent us some feedback on that show too. And thanks a lot, Tim. Keep listening. Spread the word. We've gotten a little bit of feedback on Instagram as well, and we appreciate all those listeners as well. J.McKean.36 on Instagram, thanks for listening. He said, just found your podcast and listened to the Ernie V. Hill interview. It was amazing. Great job. Keep up the good work. Ernie's interview was a lot of fun, and unfortunately, as some of you may have heard, Ernie got injured.
Yep.
And was unable to do
the Baja race, which is unfortunate because I actually watched that YouTube video where they unveiled the new scrambler that they had built for him out in England. And he went out there and kind of unveiled the bike, and it was in front of a huge crowd, and he was talking about how he's looking forward to doing that race. And man, that's a heartbreaker, right?
It is, but you know, I gotta give a lot of respect to Triumph, because he was gonna go ride this in the Baja 1000. That's how they were gonna unveil this bike. He got injured, and instead of going and finding a different rider, they said, okay, no, we'll wait.
Yeah, yeah.
We're not gonna do this without you.
That's awesome.
It just blew me away that Triumph, this multi-million dollar company, said, nope, we're gonna wait for him.
That's too cool. Ernie, sorry to hear that, brother. We know how excited you were, especially when we did the interview. You were keeping it under wraps and hadn't announced it yet, and that was the big thing you were looking forward to this year. So get better soon so you can get back out there, and we want to hear all about it when you actually get a chance to do it.
I also had a couple people responded, and they want to see those pictures of Devin on that Intruder, the Suzuki Intruder, so we'll get those out there soon.
I don't think anyone can look cool on an Intruder. I'm sorry, guys.
Yeah. Nobody can look cool on the Intruder and in those tiny shorts that Devin likes to wear.
Yeah, that's true.
One of the things that we have to do, and I'm putting this out there now in the podcast so that we do it, is we got to build some bikes to take up to
Bonneville. We do, yeah.
Tyson's got the BSA. I've got the Aramaki.
You got the Aramaki.
What do you got?
Got that CB750.
Do it.
The only downside is everyone has built a CB750. I feel like that one, you almost need to try something new.
Well, let's find something new.
Yep.
We should take three bikes up there.
Yep, I agree.
That's the goal. I mean, we had a movie showing here the other night. We showed Salt Ghost from Lowbrow, and those guys have been going up every year, as far as I know, since that movie came out. And, it just looks like a beautiful place to go. You know, I want to see the bikes. It seems like it's really cool. A great history,
You know? You know, I was up there 2 years ago filming for the documentary, and it's a little misleading. Can't really see the bikes, because you're so far away from where they test run them or run them, time trials, and everybody's kind of spread out in this huge area with their RVs and their trailers and stuff. But there is events that go on afterwards, you know, and before they run the bikes. And I know that Vintage GP runs usually during the same time out there, which is amazing. I got to see that too. All these vintage bikes running the track, and it's great. So yeah, we need to do it.
Yeah. For sure.
So we're going to give Pedro a call here, and we're going to do a Skype call, and let's hear a little bit about the Lost Boys Mexico City crew. We got Pedro Asturiano from Mexico City and the Lost Boys Cafe Racer crew. Is that right?
That's right, my friend. Lost Boys Cafe Racer crew from Mexico City.
Thanks for joining us tonight. You know, I found you on Facebook, actually, because I had seen one of your videos and I thought it was pretty awesome, and wanted to reach out to you about the documentary I'm working on. And I know you're a filmmaker, and I want to talk about that a little bit. But first, why don't you give us a little bit of a background on your motorcycle riding and history?
It's nice. I'm inspiring in the things that you make in the US and the UK from Cafe Racer. The Lost Boys, we are inspiring from the things that you make, guys, you know?
Are you the founder of the Lost Boys?
One of the founders. I'm one of the founders. Lost Boys have 5 years ago here in Mexico City. And it's a crew like Cafe Racers. We make Triumph, Royal Enfields, and some custom.
Cool. Can you tell us a little bit about what made you guys get started with this? What's your history and background?
Okay. The background of Lost Boys, we are rockers, Mexicans rockers. We love all the movement of Cafe Racer that born in London, but also we love all the things that in the US make of the custom things, you know? Lost Boys are the most representing crew of Cafe Racer. We do a lot of custom things and hand-built things about Trumps, Norton, and other motorcycles. You guys are the inspirations for us.
What is your background, Pedro, in motorcycling? How did you get started, and when did you start riding?
I started riding at 8 years old. Right now I have 36 years old. I started at 8 years old with a little pony. It's a motor race for kids. And then I started in motocross and enduro ride. And then I ride cafe racer style. So I have a big accident at 12 years old. So I lose the ride like 1 or 2 years. And then I start in a Moto Guzzi in street race, you know?
So sounds like you really like the British scene, the British cafe racer scene, the British rockers. What all do you know about them? About, I guess, the London, the Ace Cafe, the 59 Club?
I went to London and I stay some like a week. I ride with some members of the 59 Club in London, and that was nice. And I love it. I'm a lover of the cafe racer movement. I'm not a member of the 59 Club, but they know me. I know all the crew, so it's great, you know?
And what do you ride now?
I have a Norton Commando 961. It's a really sweet, nice ride, but I miss also the motocross and enduro ride, you know? I have friends that invite me to have a lot of mud that is nice and that I love, but I also love the cafe racer style, you know? Here in Mexico, it's a movement. It's a thing that it's growing. In US, the cafe racer style is more establishment, right?
Well, we watched a bit of your segment, that film you've been working on, and it looked like you had a pretty good crew of riders, along with a lot of cool bikes. I saw some Triumphs and Hondas and Nortons and stuff like that. So how many members do you guys have currently in the Lost Boys?
We have like 20 members here in Mexico, but also we have members in Holland and also in Guatemala. These are members that born here in Mexico City. These people that knows Lost Boys and knows the way that we operate, and then go to live another place, you know? They are really friends, and we care a lot of that sense of Lost Boys crew, you know?
Yeah. Here in the United States, the cafe racer clubs are starting to get a lot of females in the clubs. Are there any in any of your clubs down there?
Here in Mexico, the things about females start like growing. The culture is like a little, like we call right here, is machista.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's a little tougher, but here in Mexico, we are in diapers. I don't know.
Yeah, the early stages, huh?
So you are very evolved in the US, in the UK, than here in Mexico, you know?
Yeah.
Here in Mexico right now, there's one club that calls Las Marias, only women crew, but they lost the motorcycle. So, you know, there are many crews that lost his way. I think the most thing of the rider is to make community, you know?
So speaking of riders and communities, what's the overall motorcycle scene like in Mexico City?
Here, the scene in Mexico City, I think, is growing.
So what kind of bikes, I guess I'm kind of wondering, is what's like available? If you're living in Mexico City and you want to go ahead and get a bike, what's at your disposal?
It's difficult to have a Triumph. There are only, for example, 10 Nortons, you know? But there are so many people that want to have. I don't know if I'm explained with this.
Yeah, it sounds like Nortons are available in Mexico City, but Triumphs are a little harder and some other ones are a bit harder to find, right?
Some are very harder to, but the people that have the money, they don't have the background.
Yeah, it's the people that have the money to buy those bikes really aren't into the culture and the style of the cafe racer. Is that what you're saying?
That's right.
Yeah. And the ones that are into the culture and style can't really afford the bikes.
That's right.
So how do like the members of your crew, where do they get their bikes from? I think that's what Tyson was asking. Like, how do you get access to bikes and what kind of bikes are there? You said Nortons. Do you have access to Japanese bikes like Hondas or Yamahas or Kawasaki's?
Here in Mexico, there are a lot of people that have really treasures, but there are really background, you know? So we need to search around the old people. Many are really old people that have his bikes in old background, or you know what I mean?
Yeah, the people who bought the bikes 30, 40 years ago and they've been in their in storage or in their garages since then, and you have to seek them out.
That's right. I'm the generation and my friends and all the people around me that we are trying to have these bikes. And
your generation's trying to restore these bikes and bring them back.
That's right. That I want to have the respect of the owners, but bring it off light, you know?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's one of the cool things about finding a lot of these old bikes is that for us, a lot of these old bikes that we find were maybe our friends or our fathers or our, you know, father's friends and stuff like that. And that's how we come across some of these old bikes. But what about your Norton, the one that you have? Because I saw that bike on that video that you were riding around, and that's a gorgeous bike. How did you come across that one?
We have a lot of members and a lot of friends that have very classic bikes. And that rescue, that's my word, rescue that bike from all things, you know? We have Indians of 1930s, really old bikes that came in a show that I made. 73 BMA, it's a show of vintage moto art that I do in here in Mexico City. And came the people of Revival Cycles, and I try to revive a lot of things, you know?
Yeah, so like the old Indians and the old bikes, where did they come from? Where did you find them?
Our collections also from very rich people here in Mexico. There are also private collections that really, I don't need to say the name because it's really dangerous, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe it's Il Chapo, no? But it's like a joke, but it's like a true, you know? That's really bikes that came from my show.
That's so great.
Here in Mexico have really nice bikes, really nice inspiration from you guys, from the US, from the UK, from the really nice moto art that you have and that we love. I try to replicate that things because all the things that you do in the things of motorbike from We Are Mexicans are really awesome, you know? We are a little bored from Harley Davidson. It's like boring for me. We like to like more Triumph, Norton. We are more classic, you know?
Yeah, we have that in common, I think.
Yeah, it's like I have a digital magazine. And one, the writer for me is telling like, yeah, like a fact that, like the fat guy of the Harley Davidson. Here in Mexico is like a hueva, o sea, boring. Triumph guy or Norton guy is like a cool guy, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, don't say Triumph too much because Tyson will get too excited here if you say Triumph too much. You publish a digital magazine, right? What is your magazine about?
It's like Moto Turismo. All the travels that like you can have here in Mexico City. Here in Mexico City, you are closer to very nice places, mountains, in a really short time of go, you know? It's a very nice place to go around to a motorcycle.
Yeah, speaking of which, I used to go down to Puerto Vallarta like every year, and we used to do like a family vacation in Puerto Vallarta, and I was always amazed and always impressed with how nice the scenery is there, because it's a coastal town. But if you take some of the roads away from the town, it had really cool, beautiful kind of like sweeping curves around the coast. And I always thought to myself every time we'd go down there, like this would be a great place to ride a motorcycle. Where do you guys usually go for your rides when you meet up and you do your rides in Mexico City?
We go to a lot of places. So here in Mexico City, you have a lot of places that are near to the city. It's like go for a weekend ride. So I can show you, or you can see it in the Warrior's Way. It's a film that I made that participates in the Motorcycle Film Festival in New York. That is a trip to Mexico City, to Gilitla. You can see it in that film. It's a film that shows the contrast of the city and also of the roughness of the Sierra.
Yeah, we watched it. It was amazing, just the contrast between riding within the city, and it looked a little crazy riding in there, and then you were out in the mountains and some of the roads were bad. And in one particular scene, it looked like one of your members had gone down in front of a truck. Yeah, was he okay?
Yeah, it's still okay. The most awesome thing is when we are in the Sierra Gorda, we see these horses, so that was awesome.
Yeah, that was great. You guys were running alongside the horses, which really kind of made the whole film come together. It was...
Yeah, you got it. You got it, yeah. My friend. That's it. So Mexico offers a lot of things that you don't really know, you know? It's awesome.
So what inspired you to do the film The Warrior's Way?
It's my way of life, you know? The Warrior's Way is the way that I made of. So the simple things, you know, to go out there without nothing, without only a pair of jeans and a pair of buck and go for it. That's it. And to see the life for you, you know?
Yeah. Did you actually go to New York for the showing?
Yeah, I saw the Warrior's Way in New York. That was awesome.
Yeah. Was the reception good? Did people like it?
Yeah. I love the reaction of the people when the member of the crew fall off, you know? it's like drama.
Wow. Yeah.
It's awesome to feel like the people care about your, or feel things about your film, you know?
Yeah, I do. I know what that's like. Do you come to the United States often?
I go to the one show, the Handbills. I visit your beautiful country like three or four times a year. So you're awesome.
Have you been to New Mexico before?
New Mexico?
Yeah, have you been here?
No.
No. Okay. Well, you should get out here. I think you'd like it, man.
Okay, let me place it in my agenda.
Yeah. pen it in there, right? Pick a date.
I accept your invitation.
I think
if it's really, I go.
It's real, man. We got bikes, we got a coffee shop, we got a lot of rides. There's a lot to do out here.
I would love to visit you. I saw your webpage and your Facebook, and I want to be with you guys.
So we're only about 4 hours drive from Ciudad Juarez.
I'm from like 13 hours from Ciudad Juarez.
That's not a bad drive. Come on. I do that all the time for work.
17 hours. I think what the cool thing that you would find about New Mexico is that it does kind of resemble parts of Mexico. You know, there's a lot of Spanish speakers here. It's a Spanish kind of community. It's a high desert community. And it's, you know, I think it'd be right up your alley. The weather is pretty warm, so we ride pretty much year round.
Okay, let's do it. So I'm going to the Handbilt in April. You are going?
Yes, we're going to try and go to Handbilt in April. So we'll meet you there, and you should come to Albuquerque and meet some of the rockers here and ride with us here in New Mexico.
Yeah, let's do it, my friend. So you need to came also to 73 BMA, you know?
Is that in Mexico City?
It's a show in Mexico City that Revival Cycles are one of my sponsors. You need to come.
When is it?
In July.
Great, you'll have to send us the information so that we can plan on going down there.
We are making a book, and also we have a Facebook page, and I think you will like it, my friends.
I bet we will like it. It sounds like it.
So we need your inspiration. You are the creators of all the things that came here to Mexico, you know? So yeah. I see you like my partners. You have a lot of things that we need here in Mexico. So let's come right now and let's do it right now.
Let's you know?
Do it.
Sorry. I'm a little enthusiastic.
We like that.
Oh, yeah, definitely. So how is riding in Mexico City? Because that's a very large city.
I don't know. Where do you like to ride? Here, Mexico have too much contrast. You want to ride in the city? You need to be like a really tough guy. 24/7 in your 8 sense, you know?
Yeah.
Front, back, side, because all the people that are in the cars making the fucking cellular phone.
Yeah. It's like that here, Pedro. It's like that here, too. So, you know, not to go too far off on a different direction, but, you know, I'm sure you're aware of the political situation here right now on the border with, you know, the caravan of immigrants that are trying to come into the United States. What do you think of our president and what he's doing, you know, and all of his talking and all of that? I mean, is it offensive to you?
Here in Mexico, we respect the people that works, you know? You can be Chinese, you can be Peruano, you can be Guatemalteco, you can be Tejano, you can be Carolina del Norte, man. If you work, we respect you. Mexican people is from work, you know? Here in Mexico, they call hambre. It's like hungry, you know? You're like, you are hungry, you look for a better things to do. Or a work, or like your own, you know?
Okay, well, is there anything you would like to say about the Cafe Racer community that you would like our listeners to know about Mexico City, about the Lost Boys, about yourself? Is there anything you'd like to say?
I appreciate you much, and I respect you too much, guys. You are the inspiration to do the things that you do here in Mexico City. I respect that, and I respect and I appreciate too much that you invite me to your radio show.
Well, we're really excited about what you're doing down there, and you know, Cafe Racers are growing across the world in Hong Kong and Australia and Mexico and South America, and we think it's really cool. So what you're doing down there is really, really authentic, and we really think it's cool, and we support you guys.
I invite you to the 73 PMA the next year. The people of the Revival Cycles came here in Mexico City. I invite you to see what the things are making here in Mexico City, what are the builders, what are the artists, not only in Mexico, from all around the world. I invite you to you. It's your house. It's your home. Feel free to say hello right here.
Yeah.
It's your house.
Yeah, well, we appreciate that, man, and the same applies to you. You're always welcome to come out here and visit us, and you'll have a place to stay.
Thank you, guys.
Well, thank you, Pedro. It was great talking to you. We'll be in touch soon, and keep riding out there. Be safe.
Ride safe for us.
Thank you, man. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Before we call it quits, last podcast, I talked about this BMW, because...
Oh, is that the one you were talking about?
Steve loves BMW.
Steve does love BMW.
And they can't go wrong. BMW can do wrong.
I don't know. I don't remember ever saying
the
that.
The C1 was introduced in 2000. This is the 2004 C1 200, which has a 175cc motor, single-cylinder engine, and can reach a top speed of 70 miles an hour. It also has a retractable roof.
Oh, there you go.
And a seat that looks like a Lazy Boy. And it's two wheels.
It's like a golf cart.
It's like a golf cart, yeah. And this was their glory years.
What is it? What's it called?
It's called the C1. So for all of our listeners, please look this up. We would love to see Steve on this bike.
Yeah.
I would love to see
I'll test drive it.
Yeah, it looks great. It looks like a scooter with a hood.
I'll put an R100 engine in it, and we'll take it out to Bonneville.
Can you imagine how safe that thing would be?
And on that note, Thank you, everybody, for listening to the podcast. Visit us at rustisgoldracing.com. Send us some feedback. We'd really love to get some feedback, ideas for the next show. And what else, guys?
You know, if anyone wants to sponsor us, we're happy to have
That's
sponsors.
That's a great idea, Sparky.
You want us to try out some of your gear? You want us to review it? We're more than happy to.
Helmets, gloves, jackets, boots. Yeah, I'm always down to test out new stuff.
It's a great idea,
Good
guys.
Good idea, Sparky.
I think I just need some new gloves.
Down the way, not too far, an old-time rockabilly coffee bar. Wrecking machine tucked in the back. Elvis singing about a Cadillac. I'm on a BSA, been riding all day. Leather's on, goggles too. Triumphing, I don't know what you wanna do. My baby's on a Vincent, has been for quite a while. She said it's rocking just her style.
So let's ride.
So let's ride.
So let's ride.
So let's ride.
Come on, turn up, I got love the Kims. American rocker is a matter of fact.